So friends, let us begin with our usual chanting. Vande Vamsidharam Krishna Mayamana Mukha chapter, which as we were discussing in the last class, has many important points related to our connection with the world and our path of progress there. The idea that was presented in the beginning as a response to the very valid question of Arjuna. The Arjuna's question is based on what was told to him at the end of the 16th chapter, that look dear, you should consult the scriptures, the authorities, and accordingly conduct your life, because as human beings we tend to make mistakes, our judgments are not always correct, our knowledge is not always complete, and that is why this saying goes, to err is human. It is in one place there was some big problem because of some computer issue, and then it was a really big problem. So somebody said that to err is human, but to make blunder you need a computer. So it is to err is human. Yes, friends, we all know we make mistakes, and not that the mistakes that we make are always to be despised, because most of these mistakes impart learning to us, training to us, but that doesn't mean we should intentionally keep on doing mistakes. If we keep on doing them intentionally, naturally they are then no more mistakes. A mistake means because you do not understand it, and so inadvertently something happened that you were not able to foresee the result of it. You did it with right intention to do things correctly, but it didn't turn out to be like that, and therefore it is mistake. If you do it intentionally, then it is not a mistake. It is a fault or a crime. Mistake is something that human beings tend to do. And therefore, it is said that in big matters or even in small matters, it is good to consult the authority and then go ahead with what you are doing. And especially when one is dealing with in that area about which our perceptions are very limited, our understanding is almost nowhere, because these are the matters which are not perceived by our sense organs. The knowledge has been divided into two categories in Indian philosophy. The knowledge that can be obtained by using our sense organs and then analyzing it with our intellect, that knowledge falls in the category of science, physical science, if you want to classify it like that. Physical science is that which takes the data by using the sense organs and then builds on it through logic, and thus you get a system of physical science. But there is an area where the senses do not reach. What about that? Can we not have knowledge of that? Well, you can have. That is by using the mind of those people who were able to go beyond this sense organs. Like when we want to see some stars which are not visible to naked eyes, we use telescopes. And thus, by using telescope, we transcend the limitation of our physical eye. So similarly, we can transcend the limitation of our sense organs by taking the help of a spiritual telescope, in the sense that those people whose minds have soared beyond that, we can take help of those instruments, the saints. When you go beyond your limited personality, you become a sage. Sage is not to be confused with someone who puts on ochre clothes or has a lot of signs of being a religious person, like the rosaries or the sacred marks. That need not be the sign of a spiritual person. A spiritual person or a saintly person is the one who has transcended the limitations of the senses and therefore is face to face, as a matter of speaking, you know, that is face to face, is directly perceiving the reality that is beyond the senses. So we take their word for it. And then we, taking the help of their word, we ourselves then transcend the limits of the senses and become saints. If they are saints, we follow them so that we also can become saints. We also will be able to remove all the limitations of our personality, and like they have become, we too can become full of bliss, full of peace, and completely free. So therefore Arjuna was asked that you please consult scriptures, the words of the sages. And Arjuna has raised this doubt, a very natural doubt, that what if somebody doesn't have access to scriptures but still has faith, then what would be the status of that person's actions? Because many of us will not have access to scriptures, and even if we have access, we may not be able to understand them. But suppose that person has faith, and out of faith that person is conducting these actions, then what will be the status of that person's actions? Will it be considered sattvika, rajasika or tamasika? We saw these are the different tendencies in the mind. Our tendencies differ. We all of us have all the three. Sattvika means that which propels us to a peaceful nature, makes us more eager to learn and to know, and then through knowledge this person wants to attain to the bliss. The Rajasika temperament goes for the enjoyment of the worldly objects, wants to get happiness through that, and therefore is continuously engaged in that kind of action. The idea is not knowledge but pleasure, and so even what that person goes to know is basically with the idea that that will make my life very happy. So that is the Rajasika tendency, full of activity, and as we had seen earlier and will continue to see even in the 18th chapter, that it leads to misery. Then the third category, tamasika. This tamas is a covering element, that it covers all our understanding and knowledge and memory, and we indulge in just being lazy, get irritated, we like to quarrel, we like to fight, and such things happen because of the tamasika nature. We can see all of us are combinations of these three tendencies. There is predominance, of course. A person could be very predominantly a sattvika person, and as spiritual aspirants our progress gets judged by how much gradually we are becoming sattvika. Those who are rajasika, that also tendency we see in us, a little more or less depending on the person. And then there is the tendency of being lazy. We don't want to look into things, we don't want to understand, we are very stubborn and do whatever we want to do just out of arrogance, and like to quarrel and so forth, and mainly like to be just static in the sense of being inertiatic. So that is tamasika. So Lord started answering this question, and while answering it appeared that, well, the question could be simple. Lord can say, well, if that person does it with faith, it will be all right. That person's, even though that person doesn't know or understand the scriptures, it will be still fine. But that was not the answer given. Answer given was that even the faith is not same. Everybody has, according to the different temperament, a different type of faith. It is not that every person has the same type of faith system. Faith depends on a very fundamental thing. Our understanding, or our, let us use the word now, faith there, because it is not something that ever is proven. In fact, all proofs are based on that. Whatever we call proof is usually based on that. What is it? That who am I and what is this world around me? Every person has a very characteristic awareness of it. Each person has a different awareness. Not that all of us are same in that respect, like I was telling last time, that you may be very close friends, you may be husband, wife, you may be belonging to the same family, but yet you will be, you might be, or rather you are living in two separate worlds. And why so? Nothing to be wondered at. Each eye is, as one sees in ignorance, is a separate being. I am separate than you are. Then Joan thinks that she is separate from Anne, and then also separate from Nancy. It is like that. Everybody feels that I am separate, and you notice it especially when people go for some psychological counseling. One thing that is an experience of the counselors is that everybody says my case is different. I am a separate thing, you know. It is not that, you might have heard many cases, but let me tell my experience. Let me tell how I am. And everybody has a tale to tell, which is similar, but yet that person feels mine is a very special case. I am always a very special case, friends, for everybody. I am a very special case. I get these kind of phone calls or even personal meetings that a very common problem is spoken of by these people, every one of them. But they think that it is a very special problem. And so they say, well, Swami, you know, I want to consult you on a very private problem. So what is that private problem? And then that person narrates that, no, my mind doesn't concentrate. I want to learn concentration, but howsoever I try, it gets scattered everywhere. And that person feels that it is a very special problem. I tell that, well, it is my problem also, dear, not just your problem. It is my problem also. It was problem of Arjuna also. That in the sixth chapter you see that question being asked by Arjuna. But we feel that my problem is this. I don't have enough concentration, and then I get easily attracted by the things of the world and so forth. Who doesn't get attracted easily by the world? Few. I mean, very special, very few. They are special persons. If we get attracted by the world, well, that is a very common thing, you see. I tell people many times that I can resist everything but temptations. So it is not a very special feature at all. It is a common thing, friends. But yet we feel, I am very special. Swami, you might have met many people, but I am very different. My case is very different. So, every case is very different. And because everybody is very different, everybody's world is also very different. And therefore, although externally speaking, we see that the same kind of inputs are provided by the world. Like if you have, for example, a big party thrown, and so many different dishes are put, and all people are coming there, they will pick up different things with different intensity, with different liking. If you observe how they eat, it is very different way that every person approaches that. You can see the different temperaments at work there. That if you see 100 people eating, you will see the 100 different minds at work, and with completely different tendencies which come to the fore there. So this is what Sri Krishna is pointing out to Arjuna, that faith is very different. He uses the word Shraddha. That Shraddha is to be understood, this word is to be understood more deeply. As Swami Vivekananda has said, that it is not possible to translate this word completely into English. It has many shades of meaning which do not normally get associated with this word faith. Faith or belief is more superficial, that you can say that I have a faith in this, but that does not really mean anything in your day-to-day active life. You may believe God, you may say that I have faith in God. Somebody may say, I don't have faith in God. But they live in the same manner anyway. Maybe the one who says that I have faith in God sometimes visits the temples and so forth. But apart from that, there isn't much of a distinction. But Shraddha has a much deeper layer of meaning associated with it, and that is something that changes your life, something that affects the way you are living. It is like somebody who heard that there is gold to be found in California. So many people heard, but all did not really believe that it is there. Those who had Shraddha that there is really gold there, and I love gold, both these things are included in it. And that now love for gold would be something quite common with everyone, but not to the extent that one will do really hard work for it. If somebody brings it to my door, I would be happy to accept, but not that I will put lot of efforts in trying to get it. Also, even if the news comes that there is gold to be found in a particular river in California, not that everybody will, even though believe, will not believe to the same extent. Those who really believed it, what happened? That is how the gold rush started at that time. They believed that there is gold, and also that I want gold. People came from far places like Australia and Africa and took up the journey. It is a really eye-opening history that how much human beings love gold. And there was such a tremendous rush. People gave away all their comforts, discarded the families, and put their lives into lot of risk, and went there. Ultimately, very few got gold, and that too very little. But that is how the faith, that is Shraddha. Yes, there is gold there. That makes you dynamic. Yes. And so that Shraddha, everybody has a different level of that Shraddha. And therefore, Lord says that this Shraddha itself is of three types. This Shraddha could be a Sattvika Shraddha, a rajasika shraddha or a tamasika shraddha, and accordingly you will see the life of that person in every aspect will get guided. And so he used that beautiful phrase, shraddha mayoyam purushah yo yat shraddhah sa eva sah, that a person is after all a bundle of beliefs or shraddha. Whatever shraddha that person has, accordingly the actions of that person will take place. Whatever I see as the who am I and what is the world I am dealing with, based on that perception my actions will start happening. There will be of course some little changes here and there, but that is the main principle on which the activities or life of that person will get based. And he will be describing how it works in every aspect of life. But this is the principle, shraddha mayoyam purushah yo yat shraddhah sa eva sah, that as the whole human being is made of shraddha, made of this faith, and as is one's faith, so are the actions of that person. So in coming verses it will be described that especially in the context of spiritual life, that how this shraddha works. And what does a person do when a person wants to become spiritual? That worship or prayers or whatever, a religious thing. A person who thinks that, well, I should make my life spiritual or evolved in the religious dimension, then that person takes up some actions which could be broadly classified as religious activity, like going to a church or a synagogue or a masjid or a temple or whatever, you know, a place that that person could go and consider that as a religious activity. Some would take up worship at home, some would do prayers, some would read the religious or spiritual literature, and so forth. All these come under the actions performed with the intention of bringing the religious or spiritual awareness. But again, there these three temperaments come into picture. And these three temperaments, as is the temperament, you can see, so will be also the religious life of that person. Therefore, he says there in the fourth verse, yajante sattvika devan yaksha rakshansi rajasah pretan bhut gananshchanye yajante tamasajanah. The sattvika worship the gods, the rajasika worship the yakshas and rakshasas, while others, the tamasika men, worship spirits and goblins. It is ghouls and goblins and the departed spirits. So sattvika means those who have the tendency or intention of knowledge. They go to worship the luminous beings, deva. The word deva in Sanskrit means those who are luminous. Dyu, the word that it is, it comes from that root, that means to light, to shine. So devas are those who shine, who have light in them. So it is these people go to worship that because of the innate tendency to get knowledge. They will be worshipping those beings, something that is luminous, something that is peaceful, something that is benevolent. So these devas, they are benevolent, good-natured, they have many blessed qualities, and so this person goes to worship them. Then there are those who are Rajasika in temperament. They worship the beings who are very powerful, have many powers of miracles, and they have lot of desires. They have valor to fight with everybody. In fact, you see them always battling with each other. So that their Rajasika nature, their nature is bubbling continuously with activity, and so you will see that they will be worshipping them. They will be worshipping not much Rama but Ravana, because tremendous activity and the desires, there is less this thing of peace. There is not much desire for a peaceful, quiet, calm and luminous life. It is filled with lot of these desires which automatically make them think highly of these people. Worship doesn't mean that they will worship in the sense that they will take flowers and offer them or wave incense stick. What it means is, in their esteem, they are great people. Like many children will be worshipping that Superman. That is a Rajasika worship, you see. Worshipping, do they not worship Superman? They don't wave a candle before a Superman, but they consider that to be a big hero and can do so many things. It is that kind of yaksha rakshansi, that is the meaning of that they have a lot of powers, they can do many things, they fight, and they fulfill the desires and so forth. So it is the Rajasika people will be prone automatically to worship that. So even in when they are worshipping, externally speaking, the other deities, their very way of worship will show that it is, although their image is that of a very sattvika deity, yet they will think of that deity in terms of all victories in war and so forth. So that is the way Rajasikas will be worshipping. And Tamasika, they will be worshipping all the that departed spirits, the ghouls and goblins and all those creatures, you see. That their interest lies in that field. So therefore, these are the ways that different people worship. So he says that now he will describe that how there are various ways of performing austerities. And first he tells that this tamasika tapa, the tapa or the austerities performed by people with predominance of tamas in them, how are they? Ashastra vihitam ghuram tapyante ye tapo janaha dambhahankara sanyuktaha kamaraga balanvitaha karshayanta sharirastham bhutagramam achetasaha mam chaivanta sharirastham tan vidhyasura nishchayan. These are the verses 5 and 6. Those people who practice severe austerities not enjoined by the scriptures, being given to ostentation and self-conceit, possessed of desire, attachment and pertinacity, and senseless torture the elements in the body, as also me residing within, know them to be of demonic resolves. They perform austerities with those intentions, and perform with tremendous vigor, very harsh austerities. I will stand on one leg for 1 month. Okay, well, what is the idea behind it? Why do you want to do it? I will not eat for 4 days. Why you want to torture your body to that extent? Are you doing it with some intention of bringing the control of mind or something? No, they want to get some occult powers doing all these things. So they perform different types of these austerities so that, well, may my neighbor die of plague, so perform an austerity. It is funny, you know, they torture themselves so that something bad will befall on somebody else. It is or just out of arrogance. It is dambha hankara sanyukta, that kama raga balanvitaha. So that they are doing it with the lots of desires compelling them. They do not find the ways to fulfill those desires. Those objects are difficult to get. So what do they do? Okay, I will now fast. I actually want to eat all those delicacies, but I am not getting them. So now let me fast. It is out of anger. Out of anger a person does like that. You will see many children do that thing. That if they want something they do not get, then they threaten a hunger strike. That no, then I will not eat. Then mom comes with something. No, I am not going to eat. Nothing, no. That is tapas. Now that fellow is torturing himself, but still is doing it out of that great ego and desire and anger. And so it is that kind of tapa. Even when people grow up, the forms change, but that anger and our activities done out of anger, they remain, and they torture themselves, torture the God in them. Lord says that not only they torture their bodies, but who resides in all bodies? I reside. The God is in all bodies. So why you are torturing it? It is you want to inflict torture on that. So that is how the Tamasika people, they perform the austerities. Now he describes now the how the austerities and other things are performed by other temperaments. First thing he says that look, the food that one automatically chooses to eat, it is not question of availability. If you have only this particular food available, you will take it. That is a different matter. But what is the tendency or liking, that also depends on the temperament, sattvika, rajasika, tamasika. You will see that people have very different those tastes in those, not necessarily nurtured, but because of the temperament their likings differ. And he has given these, that how the food choices differ. You ఆహారస్తపి సర్వస్య త్రివిధో భవతి ప్రియః యజ్ఞస్తపస్తథా దానం తేషాం భేదమిమం శృణు. The food also liked by each is threefold, as also sacrifice, austerity and gift. Listen about these distinctions among them. Then he describes the food, how a sattvika person will take food. Ayusattva balarogya sukha priti vivardhanaha rasya snigdha sthira ridya ahara sattvika priyaha. The foods that augment life, energy, strength, health, happiness and joy, and which are savory, oleaginous, and nourishing and agreeable are liked by sattvika. These foods are eaten to, you know, to satisfy their hunger and to keep the life going on, that which builds strength and so forth. That is the way the food is eaten by sattvika people. And it is rasya snigdha, it is full of, you see, the juice or the liquid part, and also it has little bit oil associated with it, fat associated with it, and which stays. It is a very balanced food. That is, it is eaten with these ideas that, well, I need to build my strength, I have to survive well, and I should live a happy and a healthy life. So food is eaten for that. Then how is the food of a Rajasika? What kind of food a Rajasika person will choose? Katvam lallavana tushna tikshna ruksha vidahinah ahara rajasasyeshta dukkha shokamaya pradaha. The foods that are very bitter, sour, saltish, hot, pungent, dry and burning are liked by Rajasika and are productive of pain, grief and disease. A lot of spices are put into that kind of food. It is if these people, when they made that curry is made, then the amount of curry is this much and the amount of spices this much. So, and very hot. Yes, I see that Richard is pointing at me because I like that kind of food. Yes. It is true that it is, but I like the other one also. So it is this tendency, you know, you will choose that kind of food, that which is burning, you know, and still eating more. Cannot really, but that pain gives a sensation of being happy. That is how the Rajasika tendency is, that although there is a painful sensation, but somehow that person has got into that mode where that kind of pain brings a happy feeling. So that is the Rajasika liking. A Rajasika person will, if that person doesn't get it, it is a different matter. But if it is available, then that person will go for that. And then what will a Tamasika person's choice be? Yatayamam gatarasam puti paryushitam chayat uchishtam apichamedhyam bhojanam tamasapriyam. Again, it is the choice, not the question of availability. If a person doesn't have any other food available, he may have to survive on whatever is available. But here, if there are a lot of choices, what this person will go to choose? That is, the mental tendency is indicated here. The food that is pretty cold, worthless. A cold here doesn't mean deliberately cooled down, like ice cream and all are not meant here. That it is stale, many days old, doesn't have any nutritional content to it, putrid, partly eaten and impure is liked by tamasika. So that is the liking, friends, that it will, some will go for that kind of food. So, and then similarly, it is shown now, sacrifices. People as a religious activity will go to perform different sacrifices. Okay, let me perform this particular ritual, sacrifice, yajna. Yajna is the Sanskrit word, yajna. So, a sattvika person will do yajna without craving for getting a lot of benefits out of it. As a duty, that person will perform it with no desires associated with that. A phala kamshibhir yajno vidhidrishto ye ijyate yashtavyame veti manah samadhaya sa sattvikah. That sacrifice which is performed according to scriptural injunctions by men desiring no fruit and their mind fixed on it for its own sake is sattvika. That the scriptures have enjoined certain sacrifices. It is, for example, every householder and even monks can do some of that. They are enjoined to perform some sacrifices regarding, you know, when they are taking food. First they should see that all the other these beings around, they are satisfied or not, pray for their satisfaction. This is a food, a little food is kept reserved for them, that okay, I am offering this for these beings. So it is a mental attitude of sacrifice, that yes, it is enjoined by scriptures that I have to five yajnas are prescribed for everyone. One is called the bhuta yajna. Bhuta yajna means all these five elements around. We get them and nourish our body, so we need to give back to them. So that yajna is told, and pitru yajna, that sacrifices to our forefathers, because of them we got this body. Our parents and others, they took a lot of pains to bring us in this world, as well as to make us grow into fine human beings. So remember them. That is another type of yajna that is prescribed. Then learning of scriptures and passing that knowledge to others is called rishi yajna. Then there are other beings around, pashu yajna, that there are all other beings. It is our human life here is in balance with all other beings. So we should not go to destroy them, but see how they form a part of our life. So these sacrifices are prescribed, enjoined by the scriptures, and so a person does these sacrifices without getting any merit out of it, without desiring anything out of it. many other sacrifices also this person will go to do. But everywhere this is the point that they are not done out of just one's own desire or whim. I want to do this. No, not whimsically, but conjoined, prescribed by scriptures. And also they are done dutifully, without seeking any results. So it is sometimes these are called nitya karmas, means the actions to be performed every day. Daily, not every day, but regularly. Nitya karmas, regular actions. Now, how are they defined in scriptures is very interesting. That if you don't perform them, then that will incur some sin to you. That will bring sin to you. Doing them will not bring any merit. But if you don't do them, then that will bring a problem in your life. And therefore, you should do them regularly every day. Akarane pratyavaya sadhanani. That is how the Sanskrit words go for that. That you do them as because they are conjoined by the scriptures. They have been told to be done by the scriptures, and so you should do that. Don't expect any merit because you do them. There is no merit that you get for doing it. But if you don't do them, then you are defaulting on your duties. You are fault, that is the fault, you see, that you are committing. So, and therefore you will incur a blame for that. So, that is how one of our Swamis, who was in a managerial post there, so his job was to, you know, people will bring complaints and he would then admonish some of them. And he said once to me, this is, you see, this is my daily activity. If I do it and nothing, no merit comes out of it, but if I don't do it, then it's a problem. So I have to perform those things. So that is the idea, that Sattvika sacrifice will be like that. Today we don't have time to discuss the other two, how a Rajasika person will be performing these sacrifices, what attitude will there be, and how a Tamasika person will be performing them. Because of lack of time today, we shall postpone the discussion on them till coming Friday. Any questions about what we discussed today? Nothing, you know, it was pretty simple. So, why should you have questions about this? Oh, you have? Oh, I...
Nobody
has
asked
me,
I'll ask
question. Oh, oh. Okay, come on.
This concept of reincarnation that centered in that Bhagavad Gita talked about, I saw a claim that this is not a part of the Vedas, that they don't talk about it at all. Is that true?
No, certainly not. I can show hundreds of places where it is spoken of directly and indirectly. So whosoever has made that claim, I don't know what extent of Vedic studies that scholar has done, but at least I can show hundreds of places.
What she said is that there's this concept of life after death that you continue to exist, but that you take up new bodies after you give up your body, like it talks about taking
off garments. Yeah. That's not there. Oh no, it is there. It is there. And it is very definitely there. In so many Upanishads you read that. Upanishads are part of Vedas. Even in the other Sanhita part of the Vedas, you read it. Not that it is something that is not there in Vedas. I don't know how you people get these conclusions. I am really wondering what do they read. Yes, please. Yes, and people tend to believe it. Like once upon a time something is printed in newspapers, so people used to believe it. Now they Google and read something, forgetting that, well, Google is not God. People like us, they put something and that comes on Google. So we see that it is, and take it as an authority, you say. It is, and that is probably how they generate all this misinformation. So one has to be, you know, very careful about what is really the nature of that person's information. Let us conclude with the closing prayers, and let me remind you about coming Sunday's 150th birth anniversary of Swami Vivekananda. It is falling on that very day, actually, according to lunar calendar, on 3rd of February, coming Sunday. And we will have many programs, right from worship beginning at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then continuing through the music, flower offerings, a movie on the life of Swami Vivekananda, and the symposium on life and teachings of Vivekananda, again music to follow, prasad and so forth. So you are welcome to attend all or any that you can of these programs. So we'll conclude with the closing prayers. गीता सुगीता कर्तव्या किमन्यत् शास्त्र विस्तरैः या स्वयं पद्मनाभस्य मुखपद्माद्विनिसृता एकं शास्त्रं देवकी पुत्रगीतं एको देवो देवकी पुत्र एव एको मन्त्रः तस्य नामानि यानि कर्माप्येकं तस्य देवस्य सेवा श्रीकृष्णार्पणमस्तु।